We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, again we approach your throne of grace, holding out empty hands, asking for you to fill them as only you can do it. And we pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the word which you've given us, and strengthen us through this word as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll begin, as we normally do, by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones, and also those who will be receiving sermons of the CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Our service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Song of Solomon chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the second part of verse 3. We looked at the first part last week, and now we're going a little deeper into things. We'll read the whole verse. Verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And now the second part. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. That tree. Life was good for Mark Hirsch. He was a professional photographer who had spent some 20 years working as an editorial and corporate photographer in the newspaper industry. His office was based out of Dubuque, Iowa. He loved his job and had become very good at it. The plan was to work there until he retired. But things changed. In the year 2006, the wheels started coming off the wagon. First off, he was very unexpectedly fired. He lost his job. This was a shocking turn of events for him. He didn't see it coming. And then a few years later, he almost lost his life. The truck he was driving collided with a concrete mixer truck. The chutes of the concrete mixer crashed through his windshield and ripped off the roof of his truck. He was knocked unconscious, and when the rescue people arrived on the scene, they couldn't believe that he was still alive. For months following the crash, Mark was unable to work. He became depressed and despondent. He lost his ambition and his drive to live. As the English would put it, he had hit rock bottom and was starting to dig. But then things took an unexpected turn for the better. It started out when he purchased an iPhone, and a friend of his suggested that he try taking pictures with it. Being a professional photographer, and a very good one, he scoffed at the idea. Give me a break. Start taking pictures with an iPhone? But then he decided to give it a try. 2 miles from his home in southwest Wisconsin, there was an old bur oak tree growing on the edge of a cornfield and in the middle of another field. For 19 years, Mark had driven by that tree while going to and from work, hardly giving it a second look. But now it caught his attention. It was only 2 miles from his home, and he was having trouble navigating. But he came up with a plan. He went out to that tree, an old bur oak tree, with his iPhone, and took a few pictures of it. And the pictures were surprisingly good. And so in an attempt to free himself from his depression, he decided to team up with that old oak tree. The plan evolved then into this, that he would visit it every day for one whole year with his iPhone. He would take pictures every day and then choose one picture for every day of the year and publish it in a book. This, of course, meant great sacrifice. No vacation that year. He had to stay close to the old bur oak tree. It meant sometimes spending hours and out in the cold, in the snow, and the ice. But he did it. Long story short, Mark began to post one picture a day on his Facebook and Instagram pages. And before long, people from all parts of the world actually were contacting him about the pictures. The pictures were absolutely amazing. When you look at the book, you can't believe everything that was going on out there by that old bur oak tree. And then finally, at the last day of the year, and before that, Mark invited anybody who was interested to come out to the bur oak tree on March 23rd, 2013, and pose for the final picture by the tree. He was expecting hardly anyone. To his surprise, almost 300 people showed up, trudging through the mud and melting snow to be in the picture. It's an amazing story, and if you ever have a chance to look at the book, by all means do it. The story of a man and what he called the name of his book, That Tree. That tree. What happened to Mark Hirsch is a parable in action. Adam and Eve can certainly relate to this story, and so can we. As the bride of Jesus Christ, this is your story and mine. As with Mark, there was a tree involved. In Eden's garden, it was an apple tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In this case, though, the evil didn't come in the form of being fired or being hit by a cement truck. It was much more serious than that. It came in the form of rebellion against the Creator God. And the results were much more serious than a physical injury and depression. The results affected Adam and Eve and us for all eternity. What did the future hold now? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and suffering the wrath of God forever and ever. Suffering in outer darkness without ever again seeing even the light of a single candle. That tree. But that tree was also the tree of the knowledge of good. And it was more than merely a physical healing of the body and an escape from temporal depression. Eternity is involved here, living as the bride of Jesus Christ in his kingdom of glory forever and ever. And so the bride of Jesus Christ, pointing to that tree, can say, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The apple tree, the tree of the knowledge of good. A few thoughts on what that tree has meant to us, the bride of Jesus Christ. Opening the volume of nature, one man writes this: the citron tree, translated as the apple tree according to Jewish writers, is noted for the fragrance it exhales. The foliage is perpetual. There is not a time, not even in midwinter, when there may not be seen on it a profusion of flowers. There is throughout the year a continual succession of blossoms, young fruit, and ripe fruit at the same time. The fruit is the color of gold, very pleasant to the taste, very fragrant, and reviving those who are ready to faint. The leaves are studded with small glands to which the tree owes its rich fragrance. The shade of this tree is deep and refreshing. The best of these trees are said to grow in Palestine. The tree of the knowledge of good. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. A few examples, Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 3:18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy or blessed is every one that retaineth her. Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. It's interesting that at different times in Scripture, Jesus Christ is compared to a tree. Psalm 1:3, which we just read, refers mainly to Christ. He's called also the branch. He's called a shoot from the stem of Jesse. And also true is the fact that people are also compared to trees in Scripture. There's only one miracle that Jesus performed that I know of that was performed in stages. And it's interesting, it's recorded in Mark 8:22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind unto him a blind man, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hand and put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. But the intriguing thing is, I see men as trees walking. The text, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Christ is the tree. He is that tree. And he's the best of all. There are some trees that bear good fruit. There are other trees that bear evil fruit. But there's one that produces the perfect fruit, and that is the tree, that tree. So is my beloved among the sons. Sometimes in the Bible, angels are referred to as being the sons of God. Well, Christ is much better than the angels. Hebrews 1:4 tells us, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Sometimes the sons of God refer to people. Psalm 45:2, thou art fairer than the children of men, talking about Christ. Grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. But here the sons of God are the children of the world. There is no pleasure, no comfort to be found in them, only in Christ. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Name whatever you want to in creation. You will find Christ has preeminence over them all. The world is a barren tree to the soul. It can't give us anything that gives us eternal satisfaction. And we're created to live forever, not just for a few short years. The world is a barren tree to the soul. Jesus Christ is the fruitful one. He is the tree that towers above all the rest in the forest. And so the bride says, I sat down under his shadow. We studied shadows in the nature retreat this past year. Just a few verses here. Isaiah 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 25, verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. When we are weighed down by our sins and have problems we can't deal with, we find rest in the shadow of that tree. Think of the many penitential psalms of David. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. And so on. Elijah tried another tree. Didn't work. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And the result of it was this. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. That was a juniper tree. The bride said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The bride sat down. She did not pass through. Psalm 132, verse 14. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Once she found Christ, she was through looking. She found what she wanted, and she sat down there to remain forever. Here the bride in the shadow of that tree is protected from the fiery trials and the fiery darts of the wicked one. What the shadow did for the body, Jesus does for the soul. It's a page from the volume of Nature again. Without Christ, the soul is exposed to the fierce fire of God's judgment, and the body will take part in that also at the resurrection day. Our God is a consuming fire. That's what the Holy Spirit says. And the fire comes down from heaven to destroy the enemies. One man had this for an illustration. Jesus Christ alone can satisfy the cravings of the heart. And all attempts to pacify these restless desires, these surges of conscience, by any amount of property or money or precious things of the world, is as unreasonable as to try to quiet the billows of a tempestuous sea by pouring into its waters treasures and gems. It just doesn't work. The waves of the sea are not impressed with gold or silver. Job talked about that, chapter 38, verses 8 through 11. It's God talking, rather. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. It's only God that can stop the raging sea. Nothing else on this earth can do it. Son of God did it with a single word. We think of Psalm 65 also, verses 6 and 7, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas and the noise of their waves and the tumult of the people. In the Bible, the sea is kind of a representative of the trials for God's elect. And the storms rage and the waters crash over the boat. And that's why in Revelation they tell us in the afterlife there will be no more sea. In other words, no more storms are going to strike. By his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. She sat there under that tree with great delight. A contrast here would be between that tree and the gourd that Jonah sat under. Jonah chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Well, that sounds kind of like the bride, doesn't it? I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Well, Jonah had great delight too. Problem was, it didn't last. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd so that it withered. And then it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah so that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. What a contrast then between that tree, which is Jesus Christ, and any other tree you're going to find in this world. There's only one tree that can give us true delight and satisfaction, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what the bride is saying. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The fruit not only of how he guided her life, but also the precious, precious promises that he gave her and does give her through the Word. And even though that fruit may be bitter to the children of the devil, it is sweet to the bride. Just to scratch the surface, 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, as newborn babes desire or crave the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, For I delight in the law of after the inner man, the law of God. Psalm 119, verse 103, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 19, verse 10, More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. A craving of the word, that's what the bride has. And so she said, His fruit was sweet to my taste. The end of the matter is this. In Psalm 1, the bride of Christ is cautioned not to sit in the seat of the scornful. That's verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And those who fail to take this warning to heart are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, and they meet with a bitter, bitter end. the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is a place, however, but only one, where the bride of Christ can sit down to rest forever. That place is in the shade of the apple tree, that tree which is Jesus Christ. Drawn by the Holy Spirit, she does that. And the results are pleasantly amazing. Let her tell it. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. So, as we wander through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein are fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there is no water, we have one place of shelter and rest from the hot, blazing sun of God's wrath. And that place is under the apple tree. That tree. And the result is blessed beyond human words. We'll let the Holy Spirit tell us. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Spoken mainly of the Son of God, yes, but also spoken about his bride, because blessedly we take on the character of the very tree we sat down under for rest and safety. As the Holy Spirit tells us, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That tree.